You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back. We're talking with Lucy Charette from CBAN, the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network. Lucy, you know, before the break, we were talking about the Arctic apple. What are growers doing in the Okanagan and areas where this apple could be introduced?
Well, I mean, the Arctic apple was only approved on Friday. It was only approved a few days ago. I think growers in BC are now going to be talking together about how they can protect their farms, but also their markets. And I think there's a lot that we can do to support those growers. And one of the things we're asking people to do is to write to the large grocery chains or approach their local health food store and ask them to commit to not selling the GM apple. Because one way we can make sure that contamination is not an issue is by making sure no one's growing the GM apple, because no one will be able to sell it.
Tell us a little bit about what happened in India with the GM rice and the effects that had on the farmers there.
There is no GM rice that was grown in India or anywhere in the world. There is GM cotton that was grown in India.
That's right.
Yeah. So cotton is a really important crop in India, and Monsanto had introduced an insect-resistant cotton which was not well adapted to some of the climate conditions, the local environmental conditions that Indian farmers were facing. And so a lot of farmers in the initial years lost their harvest. And so they spent a lot of money on Monsanto's GM cotton, and it failed them. And for Indian farmers who don't have a lot of money, that was a very serious problem. And so there was, and there still is, a lot of controversy in India about the introduction of genetically modified cotton, because a lot of farmers lost their livelihoods and some farmers lost their lives.
Lucy, should we be concerned if we're eating corn products in Canada that we're eating genetically modified corn?
Well, genetically modified corn is in a lot of processed foods. Corn is an ingredient that's used in a lot of processed foods. Most of that corn is genetically modified. So if there is a risk, well, there's a lot of it around. We don't know what, if any, health risks there are from eating genetically modified corn. In Canada, there are four genetically modified crops grown: corn, canola, soy, and white sugar beet, which is used for sugar processing. So throughout packaged foods in Canada, across North America, we see corn, canola, soy ingredients, and that includes actually a lot of the grains that are fed to animals. So the meat that we eat, if we're eating meat or dairy, those animals are fed a lot of GM grains. Mm. So actually there's a lot of GM in our diets. If we're eating processed foods, if we're eating meat and dairy, there's not a lot of GM fruits and vegetables on the market. There's some GM sweet corn, very little, and there's this GM apple that could go on the market next year if consumers don't take a stand.
Lucy, you know, the Canadian government has been promoting genetically modified, the GM technology in Canada. What about exports? Are other countries accepting our exports, or are they being rejected as a result of the fact that we have a high level of GM products?
We have lost some of our export markets, but one of the things that's happening is a lot of the corn, canola, and soy is being exported for animal feed. Hmm. So Europeans aren't importing Canadian GM crops for food ingredients, but they are importing it for animal feed. So that's one thing that's happening globally.
And are they not upset that their animals are eating these crops?
Absolutely. There's a huge resistance in Europe to the current use of GM grains in animal feed. And labeling is a really big issue as well, that people need to know, you know, that these animals were fed GM grains.
What is the labeling like in other parts of the world besides Canada, which has no labeling?
Yeah, Canada and the U.S. are quite almost unique in the world in not having mandatory labeling of GM foods. around 64 countries have some form of labeling. And those different labeling laws, you know, are different. Some of them are less effective than others, but there's a degree of choice in most other countries. And of course, in Canada, the U.S., this is where we produce and eat the most GM foods, and we are the countries that do not yet have mandatory labeling.
Lucy, are there any? Is there anything that consumers can do if they want to avoid genetically modified food? Is there any? You know, is there any groups that are doing anything for labeling?
Absolutely. Well, on CBAN's website, cban.ca, there are lists of the genetically modified crops grown in Canada and imported. It's actually a short list. So if people want to avoid GM ingredients, they can avoid corn, canola, and soy ingredients in processed foods. And there's a few other things that people can do when they go into grocery stores. One thing that people can do if they want to avoid genetically modified foods is to buy certified organic food, because organic farmers do not use GM grains, they do not feed their animals GM grains, and they do not use GM seeds. So organic farming is non-GM farming. It also doesn't use chemical pesticides, and there are a lot of practices that are environmentally sustainable that are part of organic farming. There's also a non-GMO project label that people will have begun seeing on some products. Those products could still be produced with pesticides and other chemicals, but they are also non-GM.
Lucy, what is the possibility that we're going to see genetically modified animals or genetically modified new products coming on the market?
Well, unfortunately, there's a high possibility of new GM products on the market. Just on Friday, the first genetically modified fruit, this GM apple, was approved by the Canadian government. So it's legal now in both Canada and the U.S. to sell this GM apple. And the Canadian government and the U.S. government could approve the world's first GM food animal anytime. And that's this GM salmon that has been developed by this small U.S. company. And that, however bizarre and unwanted it is, we've just seen a GM apple approved. So this GM salmon could be next. And this is, you know, an unacceptable situation when, you know, consumers just simply don't want these products on the market.
Why are they genetically modifying, a salmon, first of all, and what are the potential risks associated with this?
The salmon is genetically modified to grow faster, although actually there's some doubt as to, you know, does it grow any faster than the salmon that are already being farmed? This is all about fish farming. The company says they will keep these GM salmon on land-based facilities, but certainly the major risk of a genetically modified salmon is environmental. Wild Atlantic salmon would be at risk if these genetically modified Atlantic salmon escape, and that is a very serious risk, especially when we already have, you know, this fish farming that, you know, has other environmental problems. The genetically modified salmon, there's some very real questions about the safety of eating the genetically modified salmon. We've seen some of the data from the company, and it looks really weak. It indicates problems, and it doesn't answer enough of the questions. So this may be why it's taking a long time for Health Canada to take a look at the GM salmon, but we don't have a lot of confidence in Health Canada's decision-making around safety. This GM salmon is really problematic, and, you know, many, many grocery stores have already pledged not to sell it. And really, I mean, fish farming is enough of a problem that, you know, when people are buying fish, they already need to be cautious. This is generally the problem, is there's so many problems inside our industrial agriculture system. Genetic modification just adds another layer of complexity for consumers.
Lucy, in terms of, summing up what we've been talking about today, I'm wondering if you could just, make a summary of what we've been talking about and then tell people where they can get more information.
I can direct people to the CBAN website, cban.ca. I think that's the other media interview on the other line.
Yeah. Lucy, thanks so much for coming on the show today. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Cheers.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jonathan Beattie about about the effects of drugs and herb interaction.